Dr. Seth Moore is Director of Biology and Environment with the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. The band engages in fisheries and wildlife research projects throughout the year. Dr. Moore appears regularly on WTIP North Shore Community Radio, talking about the band's current and ongoing projects. Welcome, Dr. Moore.
Thanks, Kara. Yeah, things are very busy as usual, but we have some good stuff to talk about today. Our moose habitat study is going fairly well. We've analyzed some of the preliminary data, and what we've found so far is that moose are using aspen birch forest a little bit more than we had expected that they might. And the other thing that's really interesting based on analysis of this data is that moose aren't using open water bodies as much as we would have expected them to. Wetlands do, however, remain important, particularly when the temperatures increase.
Why is it surprising that they're using aspen birch forests more?
I guess we thought from a superficial standpoint that the moose would actually be more in wet water bodies most of the time, and that just doesn't seem to be the case based on these GPS data. The collars that we have give signals every 15 minutes, 24 hours a day, and then they send these data to us electronically. So we can watch a moose day in and day out and see exactly what they're doing. And what we've found so far is real interesting, that basically moose are using fairly dense pieces of cover for long periods of time. You know, a piece of cover about 200 yards across, they'll use that for about a week or so, and then they'll take a short movement to another piece of habitat, and then again occupy that small piece of habitat for about a week or so. I guess one of the most interesting things to me as a biologist is that moose don't really cover a lot of ground over the course of the year. They really stay in very small pieces of habitat for long periods of time.
So they're feeding in a certain area, and then they just move a little distance and continue feeding.
Yep, that's exactly right. They feed in these areas, presumably till the food resources are depleted, and then they just move to the next area of optimal nutrition and feed there for a while.
Anything else about the moose study that you want to talk about?
Well, we've also been using trail cameras looking for presence, absence of calves. And one of the things that we're able to do now with our collared animals is because we know where these animals are on a daily basis, we can actually position trail cameras in the vicinities where these collared animals are and see whether or not the cows had calves and if they had twins, which is a pretty interesting way to use the data that we have.
Have you been getting footage from those cameras yet?
Yeah, we've got one cow where we have some images that this cow had twins, and another cow we have some images where it had a single calf.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty neat to be able to use technology in a creative manner to learn something about what's going on out there.
Yeah. Well, and I know you have a wolf study going right now where you're collecting scat to analyze to see what the wolf are preying on, and I know a lot of people are wondering if the increase in the wolf population is playing a part in the decrease of the moose population. I don't suppose you have any results on that study yet.
We don't. We're ramping up that study. The analysis is going to begin probably in the next couple of weeks. The researcher that is working on that project has been collecting scats actively all summer, all fall, and from the winter as well. She should be wrapping up the data collection part of that, I think, by December. Another thing related to that is there's been some interest in looking at bear predation on moose calves as well. So we've been having some discussions about expanding that study to include bear scats as well for next year.
Wow, that's exciting stuff. Things that people really want to know.
Yeah, it's very timely, and I'll be honest, as a biologist, I find it very exciting as well to work on it.
Wow, great. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Dr. Seth Moore. He's the Director of Biology and Environment with the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. The Grand Portage Reservation is located in the far northeast corner of Minnesota in Cook County. Dr. Moore, you always end our interviews with a little bit of biological trivia from your daughter. Do you have one for us today?
I sure do. I have learned recently that tigers have striped skin in addition to having the striped coat.
Ah, well, you'll have to thank your daughter for these fun little facts.
Yeah, I really enjoy getting them from her as well, and she writes them down every time she tells me something, so I have this list that I can bring into these interviews.
Oh, wonderful. Dr. Seth Moore, Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, he joins us regularly here with updates on the band's fisheries and wildlife research projects. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Kara. We'll see you soon.
All right.